Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hi, welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. I am Dawn Westmoreland, your host. Today, I'm bringing on Tracy Martino. She's a best-selling author. She's the CEO at Executive Return. She consults on the neuroscience of engagement. So without going into all this information, because we're going to discuss this during our talk, during this episode, I want you to know that she brings a most holistic and collaborative way that combines the science of the brain, heart, and intuition so that leaders and teams can master the skills of human social behavior. And that drives engagement and performance. Let me get that word out. Welcome to the show, Tracy. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Great. So everything I just talked about, for somebody who has no clue about neuroscience of engagement, heart math, executive return, lay it out. What do you do?
Well, like you said, it is holistic. I take a different approach in helping people connect, not just helping teams connect, but also helping leaders be better leaders. And when I look at this approach, I take the science of the brain, I take the science of the heart, and a lot of people forget about intuition, and that's important in being not only a good leader, but also a good team leader helping us connect, because what I told a workshop earlier this week, what's happening in the future is we're looking at artificial intelligence, we're looking at virtual reality. We're looking at all these big changes coming in 2020. Mm-hmm. And the thing that still stands out for people and still a growing trend is employee experience. And so that's why I take a holistic approach with this.
Yeah, I can appreciate the holistic approach. And you were talking about intuition. I think that's something that's, we should probably break that down. And I know that there will be listeners who are very spiritual. They'll understand what it means. But could you break it down what you believe intuition is so that our listeners understand?
Intuition is that deeper knowing, that deeper understanding. It is almost that sixth, seventh sense almost. We are able to understand the energy of the room, per se. We're understanding possibly what a situation could turn into. Mm-hmm. There's so much that intuition helps us do, more so than any other skill out there.
Yeah, I have to admit that it should be almost a skill set. And I think each of us have it, and some of us have different kinds of intuition. So I know if I walk into a room, I may not know anybody, but I have a sense of who's the saddest person in the room, and they might be smiling. Do you have that kind of intuition also?
Yes. And it's, yeah. Well, the thing about intuition, which is so incredible, is that so many people, I think, believe that intuition comes from thoughts and their brain just having this, okay, I have intuition, I have this positive outlook, and I'm going to manifest X, Y, Z. That's great in many ways. However, we're missing the most important component is our heart and our heart intelligence. Because, Dawn, so many people discount that. And since we were little peanuts in our moms.
I love it.
We had this heart before we ever had the brain, and every single emotion your mom experienced, you felt. Every single experience, every happy moment, every pain, every stressful moment through your entire life is recorded in your heart. Mm-hmm. And your heart is not going to lie. And for us to expand as a society, we really need to start accessing the heart intelligence, because that was there first. A lot of us keep thinking, oh, it's the brain. And actually, the heart gives more information, science has proven this, to the brain than the brain to the heart. And there's many indigenous societies out there that teach lead from the heart first, then the brain. We've gotten so backwards in our society. We think from that. Many times when we go into fear, we go into that reptilian part of our brain. So getting back to intuition, if we just access that heart intelligence, you're going to go further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know the scientists say that everything is energy. So it's my understanding, and I've been taught, that your heart puts out more energy, or there's a field around the heart that's bigger than the brain. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. The HeartMath Institute, and if your listeners are unfamiliar with that, the HeartMath Institute was created in 1990 to understand how the heart affects human performance. And what they discovered with the energetic field is that it can be measured from up to 10 feet away. And the heart, like you said, it actually gives this electromagnetic activity that's 100 times stronger than the brain. And that's like you were saying, everything's energy. I could sense, if you were in the room, you know, I could sense your energy. And then some people feel they can sense people's energy across the world. So when we have that, we have to understand, like you said, understanding energy when you walk into the room, you think you're sensing it with your brain. You're thinking, okay, I'm looking at facial expression, which, that's a scientific fact. Yes, we look at people's facial expressions. We might look at, are they slumping? Are they, you know, looking sad? But what we're not picking up on is that subconscious energy of the heart. The heart, every time we have a heartbeat, it's putting out that emotional kind of radar. And so subconsciously, we're assessing, how much energy am I having to put out? What is the threat level here? What's everything going on here? It's kind of like our special emotional radar. And it's incredible. But again, we have to learn to tap into that. And that's part of the secret.
So is that something you teach, Tracy?
That is exactly what I teach. I use the heart math tools. I use neuroscience. I kind of incorporate some neuroeconomics and some conversational intelligence in there, but I incorporate it into a holistic, simple way, because heart math at its core is simple, and we have to make it simple so we can access it.
So how do people get that training? Is that something you do, webinars, maybe a paid webinar? Do they come to you in residence?
I've had people come to me one-on-one. We can go on the phone. I can do webinars. I do workshops. Usually when a client comes to me, they are at their end rope. I had a client to me who experienced, she was around 50, in her mid-50s, and she had just had a pacemaker put in. Mm-hmm. And I have experience with that, and because I used to be a cardiology rep. I used to work in hospitals with cardiologists all the time. Right. And so I had a familiarity of it. But this part, working with heart math, was fascinating. So I worked with her with the technique because she was so broken up, because she had a boss that bullied her every day in and day out, telling her, oh, yeah, you're stupid if you don't do this. And he verbally abused her, didn't physically, but he threw things. He scared her to death. The environment at this place at work, talk about energy, was so toxic that there was an employee there that was so stressed out from this manager that he ended up going into the parking lot and he shot himself.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Mm. Very toxic work environment. Mm-hmm. But this woman who I worked with, she didn't acknowledge her feelings. She almost got into a numb place because she thought, wait a minute, I'm a sales rep. I got to keep going. I have to prove myself. I got this. I'm going to ignore this part of me that's being mentally and verbally abused. Mm-hmm. But what she didn't realize is the heart was picking up on that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So when I met with her, the first part of it was, I teach part of this technique called heart-focused breath. And, you know, Dawn, the saddest part was I was working with her and she was breathing. And what I do with people is I do a neurofeedback technique with that. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at her technique and I was like, what's going on? And I said, why aren't you, what's the problem here? And she says, well, I'm worried that I'm not breathing right. So it's amazing that she felt like she had to do everything so perfectly.
Yeah.
Like even just breathing, she was scared to do it right. But then it goes back into other patterns, other beliefs she had as a child. Because mm-hmm. she had a father who was a narcissist and always wanted to do things the right way, which carried her into her life. Because she didn't want to acknowledge all these feelings and emotions she had in the past, which affected her today. Because you and I both know stress is cumulative. Like we might have one moment of stress and say, okay, that's fine. I can bounce back from this. But, you know, if we constantly are getting stressed out day in and day out, the body gets used to it. It almost gets addicted to stress.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that I'm not a scientist, but, you know, I know Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about, you know, he talks about this work and death that, you know, the wires in our brain start wiring together. So our thoughts form our belief system. And I like what you're talking about, because this is definitely something that I'm fascinated with is, you know, mm-hmm. children grow up, you know, they watch their mentors, which could be their parents, maybe their counselors at school, teachers, it could be a church or religious, spiritual people, whatever. And if they're learning fear, it stays with them for a long time. And then maybe they're looking at everything through fear. I think that's what you're talking about, is that they're learning from other people.
Exactly. And okay. What a lot of people don't realize is because we're living in such a society of fear and anxiety and even exaggerations and lies, we don't even know the truth. We don't even know our truth. But what we don't realize is if we don't get to the heart of these emotions, it affects us down the road, especially with our heart. I mean, still, with men and women, heart disease is one of the number one and number two killers.
Mm.
And you would think the way we have all this healthy eating, like for me, I eat healthy, I'm dairy-free, I'm gluten-free, I'm from Wisconsin, they can't believe I can survive. So, but myself also, I ended up in the ER. Because of my heart, because I did not acknowledge the stress I went through through a very similar traumatizing bullying experience also. Because it adds up, not right away, like I said, but it adds up. And I can get into that story in a second, but I want your listeners to understand the minute you get triggered, your interleukin number 7, which is IL, number 7, it's an inflammation marker in the body, and it stays in your body for 72 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, if you get triggered and you're constantly anxious, stressed out, not acknowledging these past patterns and belief systems of fear and anxiety, it adds up. So think about if you have stress every day, think about that interleukin number 7 mm-hmm. in there. Like maybe 2 or 3 days you're stressed out and then, okay, good, I can relax. But then what do we do when we relax? We go for that, you know, wine or that beer, or I'm going to go for that ice cream, right?
Right.
So it's so important for us to understand, to pick up these tools, getting back to heart math, to understand how can I create resilience in my body? How can I create harmony in my body? And that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I knew a little bit about that, but I didn't know it stayed 72 hours in your body. That's incredible. I mean, if we knew that, why would we choose to think of hateful or fearful things, knowing what it's going to do to our bodies and how it manifests? For you, you end up in the ER. I had terrible self-care when I was being bullied. I end up in the mental health ward. So I appreciate your transparency. So what got you so motivated to getting in this? I mean, you've been in the heart area for a long time. I'll just say the heart career field to make it broad. But what really got you so excited and passionate about this? Because I know you're very passionate about this, your work.
Yeah.
And your mission.
Yeah, people say they can hear my voice when I get excited talking about this. Well, because I was a medical device rep and I specialized in cardiology. But I was in a male-dominated field. Medical sales typically is. And I was in there trying to prove myself because I had just gotten off a divorce. I remember my ex-husband, I'll be transparent, saying the last words he said to me, he said, "I'm with somebody who's more successful than you'll ever be."
Oh, my.
And so I went into... Really? I will show you. I'm like shaking my head right now. You can't see me. But
I can see you. I have a good visual, Tracy. I can see you doing this.
So I pushed myself beyond what I should have, right? I didn't acknowledge that, hey, I should understand that I have physical, mental, and spiritual boundaries. I didn't acknowledge that, hey, I have to take care of myself with healthy eating and also sleeping, but also I didn't take care of myself from a spiritual perspective and in terms of meditating.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a big one.
And so I didn't understand that. I was so focused on what the world programmed what I should be. The world told me that, hey, you got to be this bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan. Do you remember this? Because I'm 49. We used to have this commercial.
Just a little older than you, but I remember the song. Yes, I do.
So I thought I had to be what society told me, that I have to be this bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan woman. But I also had to work out, have this great body. I also at the time was, I am married to my second husband, but I thought, hey, you got to be this great wife. And oh, by the way, then I just find out I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found I'm pregnant, the company tried to get rid of me. They didn't think that was cool to have somebody who was pregnant. So I got a performance improvement plan. You know this in HR. They were watching me all the time at everything I did. I didn't realize, Dawn, how incredibly stressed. I hid it well. But not until a couple of years later, after I left that business, where I ended up in the ER. I thought, wait a minute, here I am. I'm living in Colorado. You know, we're very crunched. We're very healthy here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm teaching a fitness class because I also teach fitness classes. And I'm getting chest pains and palpitations, and I was short of breath. And then I ended up in the ER, and they said, yes, you have ischemic activity, meaning without oxygen. They got me in for an angiogram. And when I woke up, I thought, hey, I'm meant to do something here. This didn't happen for... just to say, hey, I had a heart experience. But I knew in my mind that I have to take this further and tell people how important it is to manage the stress and understand your emotions. So I did get involved with heart math first. And then I got involved into, because I love to read, I got more into research with neuroscience and neuroeconomics and conversational intelligence. And now I'm studying more on how the vagus nerve affects our body with stress. So what I do, anything I do, I hope it helps whoever's listening.
Absolutely. I mean, if we were to stop right here, you've already helped people with the education and information that you just provided. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I went, ooh, because when you were talking, I got a real cold chill in me, which just, it confirmed what you're saying is I can relate to it. You're very relatable and such. So let's talk about triggers in people because, we both know that if somebody gets triggered, and I'll define that, a trigger is like you get emotion about something. Maybe somebody yells at you at work, they call you nasty mm-hmm. name or whatever. We get a trigger. And we both know it's an unresolved issue in our life. It could go way back to childhood or, there's healing needed to be done. How would you work with somebody like that?
Well, let's first talk about triggers because you and I both know uh-huh. triggers are from an external stimulus, right? And that stimulus could be from somebody at work just saying, and I'm going to bring your HR back into this. Can I talk to you?
Yeah.
Or can I give you feedback? Or a trigger could say, can I give you feedback? It could be any one of these. Another similar trigger could be people are looking at their text. Let's say you text somebody, they don't get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trigger. And I'll explain why. So the Neuro Leadership Institute created this model called the SCARF model. So they wanted people first to have a simple model to remember what these five triggers were. And these triggers, which I will tell your listeners, are five main ones that cause us to either be motivated or threatened, or can put us in a place of engagement or disengagement. So the first one, S, is status. Especially in our society, we are so status driven.
Oh my, yes. Oh my.
Yeah. And you see this so much within our political atmosphere right now. You see these status triggers going off from the left and the right, back and forth. And that causes us, let's say, here's an example. I'll use one from one of my clients. He got an email from somebody he was supposed to send a report to, and he gets, you know, thousands of emails a day, and he missed it. It happens.
Sure.
And so this person assumed, since he didn't hear from him, that he was being lazy or what have you. So what this gentleman did is he copied this, my client's president of the company.
Oh,
and he
no.
said, where is this report? I have not heard from you in a week. So of course, my client, type A, go, 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 gentleman,
mm-hmm.
not triggered, because that's his status. He doesn't want anybody thinking that he is less than what he did. So a lot of times status will also come in this pecking order. I'm better than, not better than somebody else. And you'll see this a lot of times. I see this in workplace bullies especially, or you'll see this in the narcissist boss, mm-hmm. where they have very high status triggers. And
oh,
this
yeah.
will hopefully help your listeners to understand, I have to understand what this trigger is so I can approach this person differently and I can have a better outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the next one, C, is certainty. That's a big trigger, like I was saying, if somebody doesn't answer your text, or like this gentleman in the previous example, if they're not getting back to somebody, they go into this threat mode of the brain. Because anytime we're triggered, we go back into this reptilian part of our brain where we're scared and we go into fear. And it's based on, like you said, it's based on past memories and past experiences. So if somebody has an uncertainty trigger that's normal, they're going to go into threat mode and not trust that person or not want to communicate. I mean, I'm sure you see this a lot too with what's going on with our world. We're living in very uncertain times.
Mm-hmm. We sure are. Yeah, there are a lot of people in fear and a lot of people very aggressive. And I believe it's a sense of fear and a sense of lack, when I believe there really is enough for everyone out there. Work, abundance, everything. Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, what Dr. Joe Dispenza does talk about, which I love, is he talks about be excited for that uncertainty instead of fear it,
yeah.
right? Attract, go into that quantum field. And talk and think about, this is what I'm grateful for. Instead of we go back into that uncertainty, fear, right, that trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joe Dispenza, I remember, used an example where he said, it's like when you're a kid and you're going on a field trip. You don't know where you're going. You're uncertain, but you're excited for what's to come. So if we can switch this is what I do with clients. If we can switch that thinking around and rewire the brain and think about, I'm so excited for not knowing what's going to come. I'm so excited. Right?
I love it. That sounds something like Dr. Wayne Dyer would say also. But yes,
yeah.
I love Dr. Joe Dispenza. I know we love a lot of the same people. You know, they're great spiritual leaders. That's what I call them.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
And so with the certainty, just I want people to understand, with these triggers, we can't be hard on ourselves because we're human. And what these triggers show us is that this is just normal. We're human. We're going to get triggered,
yeah.
especially with these five triggers. It's okay. So the next one, A, is autonomy. We need to feel that we have choices and freedom. In the workplace, I'm sure you've seen this, where people want to be able to, let's say, have the freedom to work offsite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they want the freedom to be able to input their hours from home versus having to put their time card in at a place. People want that freedom, and they'll get triggered if they don't have that. The other trigger, R, which is a big one going on right now, is relatedness.
Love that word.
And that is right. You're in my tribe, out my tribe. You're like me. You're not like me. Right? And because people are always trying to figure out, is it safe? If you're like me, then I feel safe. Because the brain's constantly looking around, assessing, hey, is it okay? Is it safe? And you see this even with people who are so in love with their sports team. I'll use my example from Wisconsin, like Packer fans love Packer fans. They don't like Bears fans, and it's just back and forth. It's very funny. But the thing about this, Dawn, from an HR perspective, is if we look at what we have in common, we can start to overcome that unconscious bias.
I love it because I believe that we all bring something to the table. And you know, I think of my mother, who's 77 years old in a small town, and she's always telling me, well, I'm an introvert. And I said, well, you know, you find people have something in common with you, and they don't have to have everything in common, just enough that you can develop a relationship and do things that are friendly together. And you don't have to sit at home, you know, hoping that somebody will knock on your door and say, let's go out and have fun.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, people get so frustrated when they say, oh, that person was judging me. Oh, they're judging. And I look back and I say, but that's human nature. Yeah. We judge subconsciously to say, are they like me, not like me? We judge for survival. Like, all of these threats happen to keep us safe subconsciously, right? Mm-hmm. Even though we're not going to that fight or flight thinking that there's a mountain lion running after us.
Yeah.
But with these situations in the brain, think if they're related, if they're like me, then, you know, I feel safe and I can work with them. I feel safe because now I can have a good conversation with them. Because see how that works? If I believe somebody's not like me, how can I have an open and honest conversation, especially when it comes to difficult conversations? And that's where we need to expand as society, right? If we can't have difficult conversations, where are we going to go?
Very good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the last trigger is F, and it's fairness. And I'm sure we're seeing this a lot right now with what's going on with our political situation and what's going on in the world. I see this especially with children.
Okay.
Mom, that's not fair. You know, he got to paint his room this color and I didn't. Yeah, it's not fair. But we have that fairness trigger. And I'm sure with an HR perspective, if somebody finds out somebody's getting paid more than somebody else, right?
Yeah.
They're all of a sudden not going to approach the situation. They're going into threat. If somebody gets promoted, that fairness trigger is going to come up. So all of these, just reviewing, it's SCARF, S-C-A-R-F. If we understand that these are triggers that are normal for human beings, that's the first step. And secondly, is to identify what are the triggers that keep coming up for me. Because I use this example, the universe, life situations, I believe we're here on this life journey to grow. And these triggers are going to be like flashcards. They're going to keep coming up until you get the lesson there. Until oh my God, you're right. That is a fairness trigger. For some reason, I believe life isn't fair, and I have to understand and go back. I have to, with clients, go back to understanding where this belief and perception came from, because right then it's wired in the brain.
Yeah. I mean, you're bringing up so many good points, and as a life coach, you know, some of the things you've brought up, I mean, it's things that we're taught, and we all know that our thoughts form our belief system. So you get approached by employees and employers. Who approaches you the most?
I would say employers, But also individuals. I'd say it's 50-50.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would say it's 50-50, especially with people who've gone through the trauma with corporate bullying or stress, because I specialize in a lot of that. That's a large portion of what I do. With corporations, just recently I worked with a group. We did team building. I called it Cracking the Code to Your Team Success. And I spent probably the first almost hour teaching them how to create the foundations of trust with neuroscience. We talked about where science, where trust is in the brain. And I talked to them about these triggers to understand we have to get out of this cortisol raising atmosphere in our bodies and in our work environment. Because when we do, let's say we get triggered, let's say we just discovered somebody was promoted who was just been with the company for less than a year. That goes into a fear place, right? And so they're not going to trust the other person, and they're not going to work, and they're going to become disengaged. And so one thing to point out with organizations then is if I'm disengaged, I'm not going to pull my weight because I have a belief system that this organization is not fair. But yet then you have on the other end these engaged employees who are doing all the work, and then they might experience what I call collaborative overload. Maybe you read about that in Harvard Business Review, where they're the ones who are doing everything. And maybe some of them get a high off of doing everything. But then eventually what the Gallup poll statistics show is that these disengaged employees stay. They stay in status quo. They stay in this cover your ass mode, where the engaged employees will leave. And it costs companies per 100 employees $1,184,000 per 100 employees. And that's a huge cost to companies. And you know that from HR.
I do. I just interviewed somebody who teaches small companies, small to medium, you know, how to hire the right people, because if you bring in somebody that might be a bad apple, you know, just say bad acting, you know, nobody's really bad as their behavior, but you bring them in and then it causes all this harm and distrust and people can't relate to the person, and the cost of an employer replacing somebody, especially in the private sector, it could be enormous, trying to do the marketing to find him or her, to do the networking, to get them onboarded, to get all their insurance and whatever. It can be just outrageous. So I'm glad you're going out there training people and explaining what triggers are. I think that it's probably one of the biggest aha moments I've ever had in my life, you know, is, you know, I was having a discussion with a girl and she just went off on me, but she was at the time in a bad place. And I remember a mentor type person explaining to me what triggers are. And then once you understand why you're triggered, you're like, okay, I can go back to my life. You know, why did I get triggered or emotional? Because somebody yelled at me. And then I could go all the way back to childhood. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I see, you know, not to judge, you know, our parents or our grandparents or anything like that. I believe sometimes people do the best they know how to do at the time, with the tools that they have. Yeah. So let me ask you, how would you get out there and convince or persuade maybe a very conservative, traditional person who's used to traditional people coming in and doing just, you know, typical mediation, you know, arbitration, which I know personally as an HR person does not necessarily work. How do you get buy-in from those people?
Well, a lot of it is, especially with a lot of these people, a lot of them I've noticed are very logical, and it's important that I bring in the science and I talk about, here is the proof. Here is how you can lower employee healthcare costs. Now that's a big expense for most companies. A lot of these people want to look at what's my return on investment and what's, you know, how can I lower employee healthcare costs? Lowering employee healthcare costs is a huge, huge passion of mine, because when I was stressed out and when I was ill, because of all the stress I brought on in my life, I wiped out my 401k because not everything was covered not everything was covered with Western medicine. And I actually, that's another subject. I explored a lot of Eastern medicine. I explored a lot of the spiritual side of it in terms of healing, because I truly believe we have the power to heal ourselves. But getting back to that is, I talked to them, how can we lower employee healthcare costs? And I have a lot of data on it, especially with the HeartMath Institute, because they are continuously doing research. In fact, the latest research shows how social coherence, which means harmony within your work environment, would be mean harmony between partners, between people, how it affects the overall performance and healthcare of your team. And these studies show, for example, that one of the studies, it was with these healthcare givers in these nursing homes, and they worked with dementia patients, and they had a high amount of burnout, and I know you understand this, and these employees were leaving left and right, and they were extremely stressed out. And again, if we talk about energy, think about the dynamic of a nursing home. If you have people giving of themselves, people don't realize how much energy it takes to give of yourself. And then you're not taking care of yourself. And then you're getting stressed out because of maybe political dynamics within the organization. Your health care decreases. But they discovered, just by working with some of the techniques with HeartMath and working with alignment and purpose within this organization, they turned everything around, and they were able to save this healthcare system a tremendous amount of money just by working with these techniques. Because what happens, remember we talked about how our energy affects someone else?
Oh, yes, yes.
So they discovered, so if anybody can picture what a sine wave is, it just looks like, it looks like a wave you're climbing, coming up and down. They notice when somebody's in coherence, their heart wave looks like that. And if you bring in somebody similar, let's say a work employee who has worked with this program where they're harmonious and they're with the team and they're feeling this, it matches this person's heart wave. So you're creating this coherence, this harmony within the workforce. It's really fascinating, because there's another study where there was a boy and his dog. They checked the heart rate rhythms. The boy's and his dog's heart rhythms matched identically.
Unreal. Wow.
Yeah, through the process. So, I mean, yeah, we feel like we're talking really spiritual. I'm getting chills, too. But it shows how we affect one person versus the other. That's why it's so important for us to learn these skills of coherence and heart intelligence, because we can affect another person. So let's say somebody comes in and they are just, you know, on fire. Just you remaining in that harmonious connection, that heart coherence, you really do. Science has shown, I have research papers on this, you can affect the coherence level of that person. So think about how that would affect performance within an industry. Because when we are in coherence, we are able to access that frontal lobe of our brain where we have better decision-making, problem-solving. We can innovate. Instead of in that back part of our brain, that reptilian brain, where we go into fear, where we're triggered. And, you know, that's where I spend a lot of my time with clients, more so than anything, is teaching them not only coherence, but how to prepare for these triggers. Because, right, you and I both know we're going to get triggered no matter what. We're human. We're going to get triggered.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But the work comes in, can I help prepare you? Can I help you remain resilient when you get triggered? And can we help you after trigger, right? Because we want to bring that interleukin 7 down. We want to bring that heart rate down. We want to bring that heart rhythm, you know, so it's coherent. So there's factors with all of this place with triggers. It's beautiful.
Wow. That's just amazing. And, you know, one thing I really, really appreciate about you, Tracy, is your transparency of admitting about your 401k. I had to wipe out my 401k to exist when my paycheck was illegally cut off. And I know it must have felt very, it must have been a rough time to have to do that. Yeah.
Well, I got actually, I got angry. I got angry at Western medicine, because here, and I hate to say this, I felt like I whored myself out for the Western medicine industry, because here I was going with doctors, you know, making these, you know, companies really wealthy as a rep because I was a top performer. Mm-hmm. And hear me, I need their help now, and I wasn't getting it. I destroyed everything that I made, but there was a reason for that. I mean, look at the beauty. I just got chills. There's a reason for that. There was a reason for me to explore and go look for something deeper. I couldn't just put, you know, a Band-Aid on a really big situation, right? So I researched what is the Eastern medicine. What part do my emotions play in me getting sick? And it was pretty much most of it. I mean, I switched some things around on a dietary level in terms of supplements. Sure. I take turmeric every day.
Yeah, I love turmeric. I put it in my body, you know, because it's good for inflammation, which has a very negative effect on our bodies and such. And this has been the greatest conversation. And I know you and I could keep on and on for hours talking, but as we have to wrap up, is there any burning desire to mention anything we haven't discussed so far?
I think we hit it. What I want people to work on is accessing that coherence, because the goal of HeartMath and mine is to create a global coherence where we can create that harmony, where we can stop letting these triggers own us. Let's fall in love with our triggers.
Ooh, I love it. What I'm hearing is, instead of your story owning you, you own your story.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how can our guests, our listeners, how could they get a hold of you? Maybe they want to hire you. I know you have one book or two out right now, Tracy.
One, and I'm working on actually two others. I'm working on one with human redevelopment right now. It's called The Call for Human Redevelopment. A lot of this, what we're talking about. And the other one is The Narcissist Guide to Empathy.
That, all right, I'm in Mental Health News Radio. I'm one of the podcasters in the network of 30 other peer podcasters. And that seems to be the word of the day, the narcissist and narcissism and such. So where could our listeners find your first book? And I know your second book will be out of when it's the right
time. The first book, you can access it on my website at www.executivereturn.com. They can go ahead and get a copy. And actually, I have a free masterclass on there that they can access on how to get out of your emotional dumpster fire.
Wow. What is that, like a video or a little webinar?
It's a video. It's a video, and I have a ton of free resources on there from HeartMath. I have a lot of the research papers on there they can access and look at.
Well, that's very generous of you. And you've had some articles out there. Tell me where your articles are if people want to. I guess they could also search your name. But
yeah,
but
they're on there.
Tell us, where's your articles?
I have articles anywhere from Huffington Post to The Master Shift to Positively Positive to Elephant Journal to Thrive. I wrote a couple on Medium, and I've just got to keep writing. get this information out. Yes.
Yes, very, very important, because I think it's important for people. I think more and more people are really tapping into whatever they want to call spirituality, and they need to know that there's alternatives to just traditional ways of getting help, getting assistance, because, you know, if somebody's been traumatized or they're being traumatized by bullying or discrimination in the workplace or at home or a child in school and a parent needs to know, they can reach out to you. Now, can they do a Skype with you? Is it a phone call? How do you?
Oh, we can do a Zoom and we can do a phone call, whatever works for them. And funny you mentioned children. I have a kids heart math program also that I do.
Very awesome.
Yeah.
So one more time, give your website for our listeners.
Sure. It's www.executivereturn.com.
That's so awesome. Tracy, thank you. Thank you for your energy, for sharing very wise advice. I hope everybody's inspired to check her out and check out her free resources. But also, if you find that other things are working or not working, don't wait till you get to the end of your rope and then reach out to Tracy. Reach out sooner than later. Thanks for being on our show, Tracy.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
To our listeners, stay empowered. Thank you for listening, and look forward to being with you in our next episode. Thank you for listening to the Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.